Don't you?
I think it's good for you.
Henri.
Oh, and one of the last scriptures, words for favor in the Old Testament, is number 6440. It means peniel. Where have you heard that word peniel? It was when when Jacob was running from Esau, and he slept on a rock, and the angels were ascending and descending, and God met him face to face. He called that place peniel, the face of God. So when you are trusting God, when you are diligent to seek him, you are going to see the very face of God in the word favor. I entreated thy favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to thy word. And this is from Psalm 119:58. Now, we're going to go to the New Testament. There's different words for favor in the New Testament, Darren. And one scripture I know you're going to want to cover, but I do want to start in Luke 1. And that is for the word charis, which charismatic comes from. It's C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. And it's 5485 in the Strong's Concordance. It means cheerful, calmly happy, satisfied, content. Also a greeting. And the angel greeted Mary in Luke 1:30 with, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor," or charis, "with God." And that's he is satisfied with you, girl. He is so content with you that he is going to bring great favor by making you the mother of Jesus.
Okay, now I want to stop here and give our friends a very practical suggestion here. When I look down at my Bible in front of me here on the table, I see all kinds of scriptures in Psalm 119 that are underlined, and some have stars by them. And, you know, and the reason I'm suggesting this is when you're having a rotten day, I mean a bad day, if you open your Bible and if you have already underlined some of these very meaningful scriptures, you can go through there and you begin to read, oh, here's one, Psalm 119:92. If thy law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Well, now this is an application, what I'm telling you. This is an application of that verse. Back up a couple verses. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, then it can be settled in my heart. Revive me according to thy loving kindness. Now, I like that word revive in Psalm 119. And if you make that practice, to take Psalm 119 and look at all the times he says, revive me according to thy word, O Lord. This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me, in verse 50. Well, this Bible, see, and maybe you come home and you're so tired, you've got all beat up and the day has run over you and all this kind of stuff. Then get your Bible out, Psalm 119:116. Sustain me according to thy word that I may live. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. In other words, don't give up. Mm-hmm. You've got to have hope, and you need to practice this. Practice it, and it'll work for you.
Well, and you're talking about doing practical things our days to bring the word to our remembrance, to bring the word up to our eyes. Because, see, the enemy is going to try to distract you with all kinds of negative things, all kinds of things that come up that are going to bring you down, that are going to cause you grief. But, Darren, you're saying you go to the word.
Amen.
And you begin to quote the word.
Now, one of the last things I like to do before I go to sleep is to say some praise verses or just quote some scriptures. But let's suppose that you do go to bed and you're just tired as a dog, as we say. Man, you're really tired. In verse 148 of Psalm 119, here's what it says. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances. Now, if you'll learn this little, I want to say trick, but just start practicing this, that just before you go to sleep, don't watch. If the 10 o'clock news is going to roll around in your head all night, don't watch it at 10 o'clock. Go to bed, and the last thing you do is quote scriptures, pray in the Spirit, or just go through your Bible like I've suggested, read your underlinings. If it meant something to you 5 days ago, it'll probably mean something to you today. And I like to go to sleep and say, now, Lord, I've got a situation here, and I want you to teach me while I'm sleeping the answer to this. And you know he is so faithful. And many times I'll say, I cover my spirit, mind, and body with the power of the blood of Jesus, and no demon, no devil can talk to me while I'm asleep, while I'm in an unguarded mode. And God can revive you and teach you in the night. That's why you need to keep something to write on near the bedstand, because you may wake up in the night with a marvelous revelation. If you don't write it down by morning, you might forget it. Now, I'm telling you how to win. You can win. You can bring so much energy into your life. And I don't, you know, I've asked the Lord, how come you dedicated a third of our lives to sleep? And I believe this with all my heart, that the scripture he's giving us here in Psalm 119, verse 148, is an answer. He wants us to look forward to the nighttime when we're not busy with our hands, we're not running all over the place, we're not commuting, we're not on the phone, we're not on the computer, but we're asleep and we're letting him teach us. I believe that's the most spiritual reason for rest mm-hmm. and sleep.
Yes, that's right.
That's good stuff.
Very
Barbara, good. Say amen. Amen. Say amen.
Now, are we ready for the New Testament?
I don't know yet. I'm having so much fun time here in the Old Testament. Okay, New Testament.
The word charis, which we were talking about, is 5485 in the Greek. And you will find in your Bible, instead of the word favor, you're going to find the word grace. And it really means about the same thing. Satisfied, content, divine influence upon the heart that reflecting in the person's life. One of the meanings of the charis is divine influence upon the heart and reflecting in the person's life. A gracious gift, liberality, and that's a physical abundance that you have. And we're going to find that in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Joy and thankfulness. Now this word favor, it's interchangeable with grace. And you will find that in Romans 5, verse 20, the law came in that transgression might increase. For where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Now look at that number of grace. It's 5485. It's charis. And that means favor. Favor abounded all the more. Where sin increased, God's favor abounded all the more. Also, we look into 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. And God gave me a song many years ago, Darren. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the loving kindness of God and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with you all. And this is the end of 2 Corinthians 13. And this is Paul speaking. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with you all. That word grace is number 5485, charis. And that is favor. May the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Okay, now I want to go back. You said a verse just before then. It's 2 Corinthians 9:8. Now I want to read it with a different understanding. And here's what it says. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you will have an abundance for every good deed. Now, there is a teaching that says, for example, you have a job to do, and it's an icky job. And you say, I just don't have the grace to do that. Now, in other words, I haven't been enabled to do that. I haven't been empowered to do this. I haven't been gifted or taught to do this. Let's read it again. God is able to make all grace, that's what makes it work, abound to you,
yes.
That always having all sufficiency. Now, you see, when you feel overwhelmed, you don't feel sufficient. You feel like you're short. Say, man, I can't cut it here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we take this scripture and we really pray it and apply it to that work situation or that family deal or whatever it is, God is able to make all grace or sufficiency or favor abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything. Now, you see, when you've got God, you've got all sufficiency. Don't look like you stand alone. You're not a standalone comic, okay? You're not a standalone person. You've got God with you.
Yes.
So he is able to make all grace, enablement, favor, equipping, abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed.
Oh, praise
so you're not overwhelmed. You're not bankrupt. You're not out of luck, as they say. Just don't buy into that. Now, if we look
and
down here...
I'd like to just say something here, Darren, that a lot of people, when it comes to finances, this is mine, I can handle it, I don't need any help. And we find that attitude, it's so prevalent. And the very first four words in that verse 8 is, God is able. God, he is the one who is able to make all favor abound unto us. We can't do it on our own. I don't care if you have a great job. I don't care if you're making millions a year. It's God who is giving you what you have. And that comes from that word charis again. It means divine influence.